John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We begin our reading at verse 1. Beloved, stop believing every spirit, but be continually testing the spirits if they are from, and that's from in the sense of out of God as a source. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which is confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is from, that is from out of God as a source. Verse 3, and every spirit which is not confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not from out of God as a source. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. You are from God, and again, from out of God as a source, little children. And you have overcome them. They're already done. Because greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. They themselves are from out of the world. On account of this, they are speaking from out of the world, and the world is hearing them. We are from out of God as a source. The one knowing God is hearing us. He who is not from out of God as a source is not hearing us. From this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Very powerful text. John's a very powerful writer. He doesn't mince words. Gets right to the point. In this section in verse 1, we are told, beloved, the first command is stop believing every spirit. Secondly, the contrasting command, but be continually testing the spirits if they are from out of God. Cause, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, then we're studying three things about the test. Last week we took verses 2 and 3. He says, in this you know the Spirit of God. First of all, the confession of the believer. Every spirit which is confessing, that's a present tense verb, continually confessing, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God as a source. We went over this confession last week. Jesus Christ is not just the Lord and Savior of the Christian faith down through history, but rather Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Christ is not his last name, that is his title, Jesus the Christ. He is the Messiah. Understanding it from a Jewish standpoint that Messiah, Mashiach, means the outpouring one, the anointed one, the one who has the outpouring of the fullness of God's Spirit upon him. All Jews knew that Messiah would be the outpouring of God himself. They just didn't want to accept it from Jesus. In John's gospel, he presents the deity of Jesus Christ. He presented that Jesus is the Messiah, the fullness of God in human form. But in 1 John, it's his humanity. This Jesus Christ, who is God, is also all human. He's all man and he's all God. And the one who makes this confession that Jesus, the Messiah, has come in flesh is from God. You see, the Gnostics believed that the physical, material life is evil. Therefore, Jesus did not have a physical body, they said. John is refuting this. This gospel and this gospel belief, as being Gnostic and is not from God. In verse 3, he says, "And every spirit which is not confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not from out of God as a source." And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. So we've seen the confession of the believer. It's confessing that Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, has come in physical form. He was all God, he was all man. Every spirit that makes this confession is from God. But the spirit that does not make that confession is not from God. Today we have verse 4. Verse 4 is our focus. Verse 4 is the confirmation of the believer. The confirmation. We've had the confession of the believer in verses 2 and 3. Verse 4, the confirmation of the believer. And then next week, verses 5 and 6, the constitution of the believer. Three things about the confirmation of the believer in verse 4. First of all, he says, "You are from out of God, little children." Not "you should be," but "you are." And he calls them children, which is a tip-off as to why he's calling them from out of God as a source. The source of those to whom he is writing is spiritual sources. They are from out of God. Because the word children means those who have been born. Little born ones would be the literal translation. He's talking to people who have experienced a spiritual birth that has come from out of God. John himself wrote in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to the ones who are believing on his name, who were born not of blood." And again, the word "of" means out of. "Not out of blood, nor out of the will of the flesh," not human desire, "nor out of the will of man," which is the word for husband. The husband can't will his family into being saved, but people who are born from God. And again, the word "from" is out of as a source. People who have experienced a spiritual birth from God, who gave them that birth, and that birth is the spirit or seed of God, as John told us in 1 John chapter 3, is that once we have his seed, his nature, his life dwelling within, then we are children who are born from God and we belong to God. So he tells them again in 1 John chapter 1, 3, verse 23, that he, God, is dwelling in us. We know this from out of the Spirit whom he gave to us. Spiritual birth. In 1 John 5, 18, I'll give you, this is not according to the King James or the Textus Receptus, but from the oldest manuscript, it says, "The one who has been born of God," as a source, "God is keeping him, and the evil one is not touching him." The word "touching" means to fasten. Satan can touch our flesh, but he cannot fasten himself onto us and take us away. Because God, everyone who is born from God, God is keeping him. To those people who have been born of the Spirit of God, who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, who have the Spirit of God keeping and protecting them, to them he says, "You are from God, little children." Spiritually, you're from God as a source. You've experienced his birth. And the source of your birth is from the Spirit of God. First of all, he says the source. Secondly, the success. "And you have overcome them." The word overcome is in the perfect tense in Greek, which basically means that they are in a condition of having already overcome the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world and the false prophets. Now, that's an interesting statement because many don't realize that the way the scriptures state it in the original language, it tells the believer that they have already overcome the false prophets and they have already overcome the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. Already. Something that has been already done. By the way, the Greek word is Nike. Nike is the word. That's where we get the word Nike from, for the victor. You have already won the victory. You have already succeeded. Satan has already been defeated. We actually, who are born of the Spirit of God, are walking in victory. It's already been done. But some teachings would present it otherwise. Some teachings would say that you have to fight to overcome. What about those scriptures in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 where the Lord promises that to everyone who overcomes, to them they will be given to eat from the tree of life. They will be given the robes of righteousness. What is interesting is that each one of those instances in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 where the phrase the overcoming is in the present participle, it's to the one who is already overcoming, to the one who is in the process of overcoming. It's not a challenge. It's not, if you overcome, the Lord will cause you to eat from the tree of life and wear the crown of righteousness and wear the clothing of righteousness. If you overcome. No, he's speaking to the ones who are already overcoming. Because they will overcome. They are overcoming what Jesus warned of. We also see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, everyone who has been born from God is overcoming the world. Statement of fact. If I have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me, I have overcome the spirit of error and the spirit and the false prophets energized by the false spirits that are in the world. Jesus keeps his own. It is a protection. I've even heard people teach in our day that if they believe the wrong doctrine, if you're not right about certain doctrines, especially on the coming of Christ, if you're not right about that, that when Christ comes for his church, he won't take you because you don't believe the right doctrine. And if you're deceived about the right doctrine, then you're going to believe something that's false and everything's going to happen to you according to how you believe. That's not the teaching of the Bible. Teaching of the Bible is that God's Spirit, born in my heart and in my life, has brought the victory, just as we sang just earlier. In him we have the victory. It's already won. Whatever comes my way, if I am not right with the Lord, like the churches in the book of Revelation, if our church isn't right, when the Lord speaks from his word, they will be overcoming. They are the overcoming ones. And he's speaking to the overcoming ones because they're the only ones who can overcome because they belong to Christ. So the source is speaking to little children who are from out of God. And he is telling them, and you have overcome them. He didn't say you should overcome them or you ought to, but you have overcome them. And then we see the third thing, the security. We studied the source. We studied the success. Victory has already been won. And thirdly, the security. He says, you are from God, little children, and you have overcome them because the reason tells us our security, that these things are so. Because greater is the one in you than the one who is in the world. That's how it literally reads. Greater is the one in you than the one in the world. It boils down to this fact, that if the Spirit of God dwells in me, then I'm being kept by the Spirit of God. The spirit of Antichrist would have to deceive and overcome God's Spirit that lives within me. That can't happen. I might get confused in my human. I might get deceived or tricked for a while in my human. God's Spirit isn't deceived. That's why all through God's Word encourages God's people to study God's Word. Know what God's Word says, so that when someone comes and tells you or preaches to you, you can test the spirits. What spirit is this? As we'll see next week, John says, if it's the Spirit of God, people will listen to us, not us, me, but John. They'll listen to the Word of God. Look what John said. They don't want to hear it. They won't listen. If they're of the world, they're going to listen to a worldly explanation about the things of God. They won't accept what God's Word says. Greater is the Lord who lives in me than the spirit of Antichrist or the false prophets or any worldly system that's out there. First of all, Jesus said in John 6:44, he says, no one can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. Can't come to the Lord unless the Father draws that person to Christ. It's all of him. In John 10:3, Jesus said, he says, once the door is opened for the shepherd to stand in the door, he says, my sheep are hearing my voice. Fact. My sheep are hearing the voice. John 10:4, he says, my sheep follow me, and they know his voice. Factual statement. You remember how that worked in Palestine, where the shepherds built this large walled area. The only way to get into it is through the door. And a doorkeeper would watch the door at night, make sure the door is shut, but the shepherds would bring all of their sheep and put them into this large fenced area, walled area. They didn't brand them. They didn't try to make distinct marks on them so that they could be set apart from all the other sheep and know who owns them. In the morning when the shepherds would come, the doorkeeper would open the door and the shepherd would stand in the door and he would call his sheep. And only those of his sheep would come out to follow him, and then the next shepherd would come, and he would call his sheep. And the sheep, only his sheep will go. They will not follow a stranger's voice. They won't just come to the first shepherd, and Wooly sees one of his friends, you know, going out the door, and he decides, hey, I'm going to hang out with his herd today. The Lord says how it works is they will never listen to the voice of a stranger. Never. So the Father draws those who come to Christ. When they hear the voice of the Lord, they respond, they listen. When the Lord sets out to go before them, they follow. Not should, they do follow. And they will never listen to a stranger. That's a lot of security. John 10:5, a stranger, they will not follow them because they do not know the voice of strangers, period. Boy, the Lord has allowed many voices to come. I've told you before, the Bible teaches that within the church, the Lord's plan is to cause division. 1 John 11:19, Paul says it's necessary for there to be divisions in the church so that those who approved of God might be made manifest. Study the Word. Paul says, scope out people. When people come along, he says, compare them to me, he says. Compare them to my teaching. Are they teaching what I taught? It goes against it. Or it's not something that we have taught. It's false. Pretty factual. Very exact and very detailed. Sheep will not listen to the voice of a stranger. For the security in John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who is coming to me I will never cast out. Father draws, they hear the voice of the Lord speaking to their heart responds. And Jesus says, here's the guarantee for you. Everyone that the Father is bringing to me, I will never cast them out. I will never refuse them or cast them out. In John 10:28, Jesus says that these sheep of his, they will never perish, neither shall anyone take them out of my hand. We cannot follow a stranger, nor can any stranger or spirit take us away from Christ. As Jesus said, they will never perish, nor take them out of my hand. In the next verse, John 10:29, he says, my Father who gave them to me, who is greater than all, no one is able to take them out of my Father's hand. What you have here is a beautiful picture of one hand underneath, one hand above. No one can take us out of Christ's hand. No one can take us out of the Father's hands. It's just a protective covering. No one can get to us and we can't jump out. That's security. He went on to say, I and the Father are one, two verses later, to give us this picture of cupped hands. And us on the inside, showing us the protection. Again, in 1 John 5:18, the oldest manuscripts read, the one who has been born of God, God is keeping him, and the evil one is not touching him, not fastening himself on him, not getting a hold of him. There's no way that Satan can snatch us away from Christ or take us away from Christ. It is interesting what Paul told Timothy, which we will take in the next couple of weeks in the first hour. 2 Timothy 4:18. Remember, we had Alexander coming up against Paul. We had believers who had abandoned him. But he says in 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord delivered me from every evil work, and will deliver me and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. God's going to deliver us from, this is the preposition apo. He's going to deliver us from them, and he's going to deliver us out of them. And as he delivers us, as Paul will go on to tell Timothy in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, the reason why the Lord is preserving me and the reason why he has delivered me from out of every situation that is evil, it's so that the preaching of the gospel can be fulfilled to the Gentiles. So Paul is saying, Lord's work's not done. I've still got a few things to do, or the few things that the Lord wants to do through me. And if my life was cut short, it wouldn't be fulfilled what God wanted for me. So he says, the Lord will deliver me, and he's going to preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. That's confidence. It's because that's security. Everyone who belongs to the Lord spiritually is from out of God as a source. Born of the Spirit of God, born as a child. Every believer who has been born of the Spirit of God has overcome the false prophets and the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. Already overcome. Our source, our success is guaranteed, as well as our security. Everything is from God that we've experienced. Even when we first became interested in the things of the Lord, it was God the Father drawing us to his Son. You can't come to Jesus unless God the Father draws you. Then when we do come, Jesus said, I'll receive everybody that the Father draws. I'll never reject them. Christ comes to live within. The factual statements. His sheep will hear his voice. They will follow him, and they will never, double negative, they will never follow and listen to the voice of a stranger. A lot of security. A lot of guarantee. That God's going to protect us all the way in the end and until we're ushered up into his kingdom. All the talk about the false teaching and the false prophets and the false teachers, they are all correct. In fact, things are going to get worse as time goes on. But it is God's way, number one, for the Lord to get his people to seek out the truth. No longer can you just go to church and listen to some messages and go home. Because you have no idea that what you're being taught is the truth. You have to know the Word, study the Word, understand the Word. But not only can we not relax anymore, not only can we not just take things for granted, we have to study the Word. Test the spirits. But in these last days, there will be false teaching. As I said, from 1 Corinthians 11:19, Paul said it's necessary for there to be divisions in the church so that those who are proved might be made manifest. Well, how do you do that? Paul says, compare them to him. Compare them to his teaching. Compare them to his ministry. We have the example of how the gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to be preached. But also in 1 John 2:19 that we studied back in this book, 1 John 2:19, John says, they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have stayed with us and they would not have gone out from us. But because they went out from us, God has manifested that they were not of us. So he's saying the false teachers, they all are in the fellowship of believers, talk like them, look like them. But then somewhere along the line, they listen to the voice of a stranger, which is impossible for a child of God to do. But they listen to the voice of a stranger and they follow this voice and follow false teaching and present false teaching. And they're out on their own without any association with the body of Christ. John says they literally go out from us. Because they're following a doctrine and a teaching that opposes what the church and the Word of God is teaching. We know from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, that even false teachers, they preach a Jesus. They teach from out of the Bible. And there is a spirit behind them that's ministering this false teaching. But if people use the Bible, piece it together with logic and reason, some people will be distracted and deceived mentally. Because the scriptures that people use have some logic to them. But if you look at it carefully, according to the exactness and context, it might not be the truth. We have to be careful. And only knowing God's word and turning to God's Spirit to help us understand, are we going to overcome? You see, we have overcome. We've got the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and He is greater than all the other spirits that are out there opposing the things of God. And He is keeping me, because without Him, I have the ability to be deceived. But He is faithful. There must be divisions in the church. Just like there must be divisions in the world, those who receive Christ and those who reject. The dividing process is still going on in the church. Those who are teaching and preaching and those who are listening. Those who want a false gospel will follow false teaching. And in our day, those who want the truth of the Spirit of Christ, it's almost as if you're on your own. Find other believers who are like-minded. Because there's very few in the last days that are truly seeking out the truth. As Paul told Timothy, in the last days people are going to have itching ears. They're going to look for people to scratch their hearing for them. They already have something that they want to hear. And they're looking for somebody to say it. Going to be happening in the last days. A crucial time for believers, which is why our emphasis is on the Word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book, so that we can know the whole counsel of God. That's the key. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul was on his way to Rome, he knew that he wasn't going to return. He called for the elders from Ephesus over to the island of Miletus, and he says to them, I have not failed to give you the whole counsel of God. He stayed there until he gave them the whole picture, not parts of it, but the whole counsel. He told the elders, take that whole counsel and minister that whole counsel to others. Paul says, even after I depart, there will be false teachers come in. We'll give the whole counsel of God. So people know the whole picture in context and know the truth. So the confirmation of the believer. First of all, we saw the confession. And the confirmation is that the Spirit of God dwells within each child of God. And that child of God already walks in victory. Because we have already overcome the world. And the reason for it? Security in Christ. Not because of my mental ability. It's not because of my beliefs. Because the Spirit of God that dwells in me is more powerful and is greater than any spirit that could oppose the things of Christ. Here's a congregational question. This might cause you to wake up, so pay attention. Because of God's security, and the confirmation He's given to us that we have already overcome the world, how are we to handle Satan's attacks? One word. What are we supposed to do? Stand. Right. Stand in the finished work of Christ. That which He has already done when He hung on the cross, He says, Tetelestai, it is finished. You cannot improve on the finished work of Christ. So I stand on His security and His finished work as the confirmation that I'm a believer, that I belong to Christ. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your love and provision. As we continue to study Your Word, we continue to learn of the depths of your provision for us and your love for us. Lord, you know that we can't keep ourselves. You know that we can't overcome Satan. You know that we can't produce our own salvation and our own birth, spiritual birth. You have provided all of these things for us. Lord, cause us to rest, to turn to Christ, who is in the inner man, in the finished work of Christ, and to stand in him, not responding to the bait of repaying evil for evil, nor responding in the flesh to false teaching and false teachers, but rather to stand on the truth and proclaim the truth and represent the truth in Christ, knowing he has confirmed to us and guaranteed that we have already overcome them, that greater is the Christ who lives within us than false spirit and the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world. For that we thank you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.